You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This year has seen an unprecedented amount of fire events worldwide. Dozens of wildfires have been ranging across the globe, from South Africa to Indonesia to Australia to Canada. Last month, Greece experienced its deadliest wildfire in the country's history. Sweden wildfires have become an EU emergency, and the Mendocino fire in California has become the largest in the state's history. It has burned an area about the size of LA, and the smoke from California fires is reaching the east of America. Alice spoke with Grant Pierce, a senior fire scientist with Skion Rural Fire Research Group, about the unusual fire season and what it means for New Zealand.
So we have seen a number of significant fire events around the world this year, obviously in California, but also in Portugal, and more recently in Canada and other parts of Europe. For example, we've even seen fires as far north as Sweden, where we wouldn't normally expect to see significant forest fires. So this season's an example where we've seen more severe fire weather events in combination, particularly in the likes of Canada and through the Mediterranean, more frequent periods of drought, and that's contributing to larger amounts of fuels being available to burn. And that's contributing to some of the more extreme fires that we're seeing. This combination of sort of hotter, drier, windier weather is meaning that fires are getting larger, they're burning more intensely, so they're producing more energy, and they're creating their own weather and behaving much more sort of unpredictably. For example, in the case of the California fires, the car fire spreading in multiple directions at once, burning on multiple fronts into to built up areas.
That's unusual.
So what we're seeing in conjunction with the more severe fire weather is the increasing number of fires impacting on urban areas. Obviously, as the population around the world is growing, more people are moving out into rural areas or onto the boundaries of our cities. And obviously they're coming into contact with the vegetation, and often more people means more fires, and those fires are increasingly impacting on people and property and resulting in some of the sort of like catastrophic losses that we're seeing in recent years.
The fire tornado got a lot of attention in the media. I'm wondering if that was as shocking to you as it was to a lot of other people.
Yeah, absolutely. The fire tornado there in California surprised a lot of people. Often we'll see smaller fire wheels or fire tornadoes, as they're sometimes called, that are on the sort of the scale of tens of metres or maybe up to 100 metres. But to see a whole fire smoke column revolving like that, producing extreme fire behaviour, causing the fire to spread in all directions is quite exceptional. So the sorts of scales that we're talking are on the scales of kilometres rather than tens of metres, for example.
It seems like it's speeding up in intensity the last few years. Is that just my impression, or do you have...
Yeah, from the fire standpoint, we're seeing those really fire-prone parts of the world, so North America, the Californias, and the Europe's, the Mediterranean areas, where previously it might have been a bad fire season every few years, being almost every year. So fire seasons are getting longer. So, for example, in California, they talked about the fire season being a month earlier and finishing a month later than previously. So longer periods where areas are exposed to the sorts of conditions when fires can occur.
What is your research specifically looking at in terms of fire in New Zealand?
So our research program looks at a range of aspects on rural fires here in New Zealand, and also contributing to the understanding around the world. So for a number of years, we've conducted research to look at how fires burn in New Zealand vegetation types so that we can develop models for predicting how fast fires will spread and how difficult they will be to put out. We also have a program research looking at developing tools for fire management agencies to better be able to identify fires earlier and predict where they're going to go so that they can develop strategies and tactics to deal with those and ways of reducing those fires from occurring in the first instance.
Mm. So looking forward, what parts of the country are you most concerned about?
So So we completed some work looking at the potential impacts of climate change on fire risk here in New Zealand several years ago, and this has just recently been published in a paper that looked at the combined effects of a range of factors on New Zealand's plantation forests. And that showed that most areas of the country are likely to see increases in fire danger in future. So the more days of severe fire weather, the most fire-prone parts of the country under current climate, so the Canterbury's and the Marlborough and Gisborne areas, will see increases in future. But significantly, it's the less fire-prone areas, so the coastal Otago region, the Wellington area, Whanganui, which wouldn't normally be considered highly fire-prone areas, that will see the greatest increases in fire potential in future.
When do you see those areas starting to become more fire-prone?
Yes, so I think there's two factors at play there. We're, I think, already seeing increased sort of frequency of, you know, extreme weather events, and fire is no different. So, you know, we're seeing more days each season with severe fire weather. But our research showed that we looked at two time periods, so through to the 2040s, so 2030 to 2050, and the 2090s, sort of 2080 to 2100, so those sorts of time periods. And interestingly, the results showed that we could see quite dramatic increases as early as those 2030s, 2040s, and quite severe fire weather.
Is that part of the training now, talking about how to adapt fire management to climate change?
Absolutely. So fire managers closely monitor fire weather conditions, and each season, as each season approaches, would look at what the potential impacts of sort of the climate cycles are on the fire season that's coming up. And certainly they're well aware of the increasing risk into the future and are looking to develop strategies for how they manage that.
What can be done? Are we just going to have to continue to adapt to our changing environment, or is there anything proactive we can do at this point?
So if we think about sort of these more extreme fires and the fact that they're impacting on our built-up areas more often, I think there are a number of things that can happen. We need to increase the awareness of the people living in those fire-prone areas of the potential risk and educate them in some of the things that they can do to mitigate that risk. So that's anything from as simple as planting less fire-prone species in their gardens, creating buffer zones, defensible space we call it, where areas are clear of vegetation between the surrounding landscape and the house, so that there's less chance of a fire spreading and burning a house down. At the sort of more strategic level, I think we need to be doing more in the planning space. So like we do for flooding and earthquakes, putting tighter controls on areas where people can build, and if people still choose to build in those areas, more conditions on requirements around the materials the house is built out of, the need for this defensible space around properties, so that they're better able to withstand fires when they do impact on those areas.
Mm. Do you think the best thing that we could do is to leave the places that are undeveloped?
So that's one strategy. So around the world, we're getting increasingly better at identifying the highly fire-prone areas, the high-risk areas, that combination of where the fuel types, terrain, and climatic conditions contribute to the greatest likelihood of fires occurring, and then the most severe fires burning through those areas. And so in some cases, where that is the case, I think there's a place for preventing development from occurring, although obviously that's really difficult to prevent. So it's about doing that in combination with these strategies, reducing the likelihood of homes being damaged where possible.
After a fire has destroyed huge areas of land, what happens to that land?
So the effects of fires are highly dependent on sort of the ecosystem that the fire is occurring in, and obviously there's a whole range of ecosystems around the world. Some vegetation types, you know, I won't say enjoy fire, but require fire to revegetate the area. They either resprout or they reseed with the heat of the fire, and that's part of the natural regeneration cycle. other parts of the world, and New Zealand is probably in this boat. Most of our vegetation types aren't adapted to fire, and so any fire potentially is going to be very damaging. So a lot of it comes down to the more severe the fire, the more damage it will do. It will remove the vegetation, it will expose the soil to erosion, and California, for example, last season we saw that, where there were some severe fires that were followed by heavy rain events which resulted in massive landslides. So often it's a combination of a severe fire event with severe weather events soon after.
And then the land becomes more prone to invasives?
Absolutely. So another impact of fire is to remove the existing vegetation and open that up to species which take advantage of that opportunity. So weed species particularly fall into that category. And often those weed species can be more fire prone than the previous vegetation. And we've seen lots of examples of that around the world. And for example, gorse is one of those species here in New Zealand.
It's kind of a scary feedback.
Yeah, so I guess fires have always been part of natural cycles around the world, and always seen sort of natural climate variations, but some of the signs are there that these fires are becoming more frequent, more severe, and some of the impacts obviously are greater as a result.
Are things happening faster or more intensely than have been expected?
I wouldn't say necessarily happening faster, although in some parts of the world some scientists have expressed those views. I guess in some regards, you could say that the proof of climate change is being seen in these more frequent fire events. There will be those that argue that that is just due to sort of long-term natural cycles. But I think many experts are now of the view that climate change is real, and wildfires are one of the examples of that.
Fires must be contributing quite a bit more CO2 to the atmospheres. Are people measuring how much this year for how
yes,
much?
Yes, they are. Yeah. Yep. And there's been a number of studies around the sorts of issues that we were talking about before, about emissions from the likes of the permafrost reductions. So, you know, large fires burning into those ground fuels, which produce some of the more damaging emissions that then exacerbate the problem. So I think that is very much about understanding that more fire could potentially mean more emissions, which could, you know, increase the frequency of these sorts of events in the future.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.